Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14, we're going to study about safety in the multitude of counselors. Look what the Bible says. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So that's what we're going to study today. And I apologize for the voice. Allergies and whatever else have really kicked up here this week, and you may have noticed earlier the voice was getting a little raspy. Well, it's plenty raspy today. But the words of God need to be preached, and so we'll preach by God's grace. Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So what we're going to preach about is getting counsel. This is something that a lot of people aren't familiar with, or if they are, many times they're getting it in the wrong way. Now, let's go down and look at these things and study counsel in the Bible and see how you can apply it to your life. And let me tell you something. If you think about it and if you'll listen, this could be some of the most valuable, practical information that you could possibly get as a Christian to help you in your life and in the decisions you make as a Christian. Now, before we ever get started, the one thing about counsel that's really good, one of the great benefits of it, is that it slows you down and gives you more time to consider the thing. People have a tendency to ask something of the Lord and then act very rashly, impulsively on what they find. And that's why many people skip the counsel. They want to say, I've prayed about it, and this is what the Lord wants me to do, and then they go to it. But I'm going to tell you something. You're better off to get counsel. I remember those days when I would pray and just go based upon what I'd prayed, very impulsively with the decisions. And many times those decisions worked out right. But I'd have been better off if I'd have taken the time to just consider the thing longer and seek some counsel. The Lord really sharpens you, gives you a lot of wisdom, and helps you the next time somebody comes around that's trying to make a decision similar to yours. Many times you can answer according to the counsel that you received and help them. I had a fellow the other day that called me, and he was asking me a question about something that he wanted to do in his church, and I was able to give him counsel. Not because I had personal experience with the thing that he was discussing, but I had sought counsel from some people before, and in one of those conversations, a fellow relayed to me something that he had done in his church that was exactly the same thing that this fellow was planning on doing in his church. And so what happened is that I was able to give that same counsel to this fellow, and he was able to use it. I wouldn't have had that knowledge if I hadn't sought counsel. Now, there's safety in the multitude of counselors. So we're going to look at seven things regarding you getting counsel. Here's the first thing. Even though, now listen very carefully, get these down so that you can remember them, because you're not going to remember these 15 minutes after we speak unless you write them down. Even though you think you're on the right track, get counsel. That's the first thing. Even though you just feel certain in your heart that you're on the right track, get counsel. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14, the text that we're studying today, the Bible says, where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. It will not hurt you to get the counsel. It more than likely will confirm what you're planning on doing, but if it doesn't, then it will give you something to weigh that'll keep you from getting in trouble. Now, here's the problem. If you think you're on the right track, but you're not going to get counsel, then you've got to remember, where no counsel is, the people fall. You see that? Eventually, you may have been right two or three times in a row. Eventually, you're going to fall. Where no counsel is, the people fall. Solomon said that is an absolute principle. Now, like I said, there are going to be times when you're not going to get counsel and you're going to be right. And that's going to give you confidence that you can make those decisions on your own regularly. You can't, even though you may think you're right. You need to get the counsel. Not only do people fall, but purposes without counsel, purposes are disappointed. In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. You don't want to be a disappointment, do you? Well, then get the counsel, because it'll keep you from being disappointed when the thing doesn't work out right. Now, I'll give you a classic example in the Bible where some men acted, and they could, from all the things, all the signs that they could read, they knew they were right on the track that they needed to be. They did not ask counsel of the Lord. They made the decision rashly, and they made a terrible mistake. It's in Joshua chapter 9, verse 14. Joshua chapter 9 and verse 14. Now, I'm not reading the context, I'm just reading the verse. But what happened is, there are some men that came from Gibeon, and they pretended to have traveled from a long distance. Now, if they really were from where they said they were, Joshua and the Israelites could have made a peaceful treaty with them and spared their lives. But as it turns out, these men were not from a distance. They were from very close to where the Jews were going to dwell, and so they ultimately were to be destroyed. But the men, look what they did in verse 14, Joshua chapter 9. The men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. They sized up the fact that these men were road weary, that the bread that they had molded, and they figured how many days' journey that would make them away from where the Jews were when they made this treaty. They decided, since they could tell by, you know, how worn out the men were and how old their bread was, that these men really had come a great distance. So rather than ask counsel of the Lord, they just made the decision, and they were wrong. These men were their next-door neighbors. Very wrong. So you've got to get counsel. I mean, you just got to take the time to sit down and ask somebody what you ought to do in those circumstances. And if you'll take the time to hear their counsel, you'll glean a great deal of wisdom, even beyond what you've already gleaned from the Word of God and from your own prayer. All right, now here's the second thing. The Bible says there's safety in the multitude of counselors. All right, then, make sure that the counsel you seek is wise counsel. The first thing to do is get counsel, even though you think you're right. The second thing to do is make sure that the counsel you seek is wise counsel. And that's because there are a lot of people that are really ready to help you. There are a lot of people that are willing to give you their advice. But advice, you know, with that, you can't even buy a cup of coffee, they say. So you want to make sure, as long as you're going to take the time to do this, that the people you're talking to know what they're talking about and that they have a reputation for wisdom. That's very important. All right, in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 6, Proverbs chapter 24, verse 6, the Bible says, "For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war." So you got to make sure the guys are wise. Now, back in the days of David, when he was king, there was a counselor around there that was a very wise man. His name was Ahithophel, and he had such a reputation that when men talked to him about the decisions they were going to make, he was the same as if you had gone to God himself and asked the counsel. Now, that's a wise man. 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 23. Now, the Bible says in this text here, "And the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was if a man inquired at the oracle of God, so was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom." Very wise man. Man, he had the reputation as if you were talking to God at the oracle of God yourself. So you got to make sure they're wise counselors. Now, how do you do that? Well, you get to know them. You know, generally, you get to know them well enough to see how things go in their lives. Okay, are they keeping their families together? I mean, if you're going to ask them counsel about something to do with your family, how's their family? If you're going to ask them something about finances, how are their finances? If you're going to ask them something about a leadership decision, how is their leadership ability? You see that the wisdom generally comes with age, not always, but generally comes with age, and you can measure a man's wisdom according to how things have gone in his own life. Ahithophel was a very wise counselor because over the years he had given counsel, and every time that he gave that counsel, it came out as if God had spoken himself. So make sure they're wise counselors. Perhaps you need to inquire of them a little bit to find out what they're made of before you do. Now, you consider that what I'm doing here in the pastorate. I've got, this is my 14th year of full-time pastorate and 17th year of being in the ministry. In other words, three of those years I was getting an education, but I was spending time doing things in the ministry, and I've been teaching and preaching since 1987, so almost 20 years. But with all of that, I don't consider myself to be wise enough to make some of the decisions that I have to make, particularly considering things I've never seen before. And so I've got three pastors that have all been in the ministry more than 30 years, and I consider them very wise because their churches are very stable. One of their churches isn't even as large as our church. It's not necessarily that they were very large, they're just very stable. They have been through a tremendous number of storms, and they have survived every storm. And their reputation among men and their character among men is solid. They have a good report. And then I have one man that I've known 24 years. We did business together, and he's followed the work of God in my life. And he is a Sunday school teacher, and he's a very good soul winner, and he's very knowledgeable of the words of God. And then I've got another friend of mine that's up in his 70s. He's like a surrogate dad, and I've known him for 20 years, and we talk at least every other week. Now, those are five guys, and they know me well, and they know this ministry well, and they know the ministry. Not only this ministry, they know the ministry very well. They're very wise. They've proven it over the years. Their ages range anywhere from their young 50s all the way up into almost 80 years old. Now, when I've got to make a decision, I'll check with at least three of those guys, sometimes all five, depending on what the circumstances are. And I won't act until I've heard their counsel because I want to hear what they have to say. Amazingly, all of their counsel lines up. In other words, it's not two against one. And when I'm asking them a question, I've prayed over it a long time, read my Bible about it a good while. They usually all give the same counsel. I don't tell the two of them what the other, I don't tell each one what the other two or three may have said. I let them speak for themselves. They may not all have the same reasons for the counsel they're given, but generally their counsel all lines up. Well, there's a great deal of comfort in that. There's a great deal of assurance in that. And what I'm trying to tell you is I'll continue to use that until I die. All right, here's the third thing. Get counsel, even though you think you're on the right track. That's the first thing. Make sure that the counsel you seek is wise counsel. And then the third thing is make sure the counselors are godly counselors, not ungodly counselors. And that's very important, particularly when you're young. You see, when you're young, you may be making a decision to, I don't know what it is, but, you know, some little deal, and you'll call your friends who are also young like you are, and that doesn't necessarily mean that they're not wise, but generally they're just as reckless as you are, and you're not looking for counsel. What you're looking for is backing. You're looking for backing, not counsel. And boy, there is a big difference there. You don't look for somebody to back you up. You're looking for somebody to give you counsel to keep you out of trouble. So that's why I say when you're young, be careful about going to your friends because they're liable just to back you, and then you're going to regret what you've done. Now, I said these guys need to be godly counselors. Turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 10, 1 Chronicles chapter 10, and notice here that Saul went to get counsel from a lady one time, and she was not a godly person. She was ungodly because she had a familiar spirit. 1 Chronicles chapter 10, and look at verse 13. 1 Chronicles 10:13, so Saul died for his transgression which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it. Now today, generally, the familiar spirit shows up as a something that you get in prayer, a feeling or an impression that you get in prayer. And you need to be very careful with that. Not that God doesn't give you impressions in prayer, but it is very possible these days in prayer to actually be in contact not with the Spirit of God, but with a spirit, like a familiar spirit, a wrong spirit, and actually be led in the wrong direction after praying over a thing. And so you want to be sure that you're not dealing with ungodly counsel because of people that are connected to ungodly spirits. Now, if they're doing things in their lives that they call spiritual that don't line up with the words of God, you can be sure that these are not godly counselors, okay? Now, a godly counselor should be your pastor. Now, he may not be. Maybe an ungodly man. And I've had one like that before. He wouldn't follow the words of God because he was scared what it might do to his congregation if he did. Well, you got to watch out for that. But if you've got a godly pastor, then when you're making decisions, sometimes those would be real good for you to sit down with him and just say, look, I'm trying to make this decision, just trying to weigh this thing, and I want to be sure I'm on the right track. Now, I've had people come to me, and they're praying for their children. They want to find out if they're praying in the right direction. I've had people come to me, they're thinking about getting married, and they want to talk to me about the person they're thinking about marrying, maybe a business decision they're going to make, or going back to school or something like that. You know, I'm not going to tell them that they have to do what they've come to seek counsel for. I'm just going to let them know what I've seen over the years, and they can stick that in with the rest of the stuff they're doing as they consider the matter. And then hopefully what I've told them with whatever else they're hearing will give them the opportunity to weigh it out and make a good decision. All right, fourth thing, make sure the counsel is consistent with God's words. Make sure the counsel is consistent with God's words. Why? Well, according to Proverbs chapter 21, verse 30, there is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. So if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, then it doesn't make any difference how wise the counsel seems. You just can't follow it. So you make sure that the counsel is consistent with the words of God. So what do you do? Well, pray, obviously, and read your Bible, and then ask, and keep your ears wide open to what you're hearing. For instance, in Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve had already heard from the Lord. They said, Adam had heard from the Lord at least, and he had told Eve. She knew what was going on. God said to Adam in Genesis 2:17, speaking of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Right, the devil came along in Genesis chapter 3 and gave counsel to Eve. And his counsel was not consistent with the words of God. He said, you shall not surely die. And he led her on with a lot of great and beneficial things that she could expect from the tree, like wisdom and good food and something that was pleasant to the eyes. So he made her feel like she was really missing out on something by being confined to a commandment by the Lord. So she rejected the counsel of God and went with the counsel of the devil, and damned herself and the entire human race. Why? Because the counsel she received from the devil was not consistent with God's words, but she had rejected God's words to take his counsel. The Pharisees rejected God's words to take their counsel. And, well, that's dangerous, because it may seem wise on the surface, but it is deadly, deadly, deadly wrong when you get started. So you really got to make sure it lines up with God's words. You say, well, I don't know God's words that well. Well, then get to know them. All right, here's the fifth thing about safety in the multitude of counselors. Get counsel from a multitude, like three people, not just one person. And the reason is that when you go just to one person, the person you're talking to may actually lead you astray. Let me give you an example. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 13 and look at verse 18. 1 Kings chapter 13, look at verse 18, and while you're turning there, I'll tell you what's going on. A young prophet went to prophesy against Jeroboam. He was told to go out another way, don't stay in town to eat, and so the man did what he was told to do. And when he went outside of town, he decided to take a break under the oak tree, and an old prophet found out about him. And he went to him, and he said, come eat with me, and the young man said, I can't. The Lord told me I can't do that. And here's what the old prophet told him in verse 18 and 19. He said unto him, I am a prophet, also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. So he went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drank water. Well, that's ultimately what the young man wanted to do, but the old man lied to him. And he'd only gotten counsel from one person. If he'd gotten counsel from anybody else, like just prayed about it again or sought any other counsel, he would have known that what the man was telling him was wrong, and he would have spared his life. Now look at 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 3, and I'll show you an example of getting a multitude of counsel. 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 3. Hezekiah was a very good king. He was a wise man. But one of the reasons that he was wise is that when he had decisions to make, he would check it out with other men that were with him that had a reputation for wisdom. 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 3, he was being attacked by Sennacherib and the Assyrians. And so he took counsel in 2 Chronicles 32, verse 3, he took counsel with the princes and his mighty men. All right, that's a multitude. To stop the waters of the fountains, which were without the city. And so they didn't help him. That was a great help to him. You see what happened? He didn't want to leave water out there in those fountains, because then Sennacherib and his men, when they came, would have water to water their horses and troops, and they could stay there in the siege longer. So they stopped up those fountains so that those men wouldn't have anything to drink. That's really good. You know what that is? That's a multitude of counsel. All right, now the next thing about counsel is this. Consider all of the counsel before rejecting any of the counsel. Consider all of the counsel before rejecting any of the counsel. In other words, sometimes you'll be going along and you'll hear something somebody says, and you go, well, I don't want to go with that. So you'll throw that counsel out and you keep looking until you find the counsel that you want. That's more like getting the backing that we talked about concerning the godly counselors versus the ungodly counselors. You know, you're just trying to find people that'll help you do what you already wanted to do in the first place. Don't reject any of the counsel until you've heard all of the counsel. Let me give you a good example. 1 Kings chapter 12. 1 Kings chapter 12, we're going to read about a young king named Rehoboam. He came to the throne after Solomon. At that time, all the kingdom was still together. It hadn't been split and divided. Rehoboam was approached by the representative of the 10 northern tribes to see how he would handle them. And he sought counsel from old men. And the old counselors said, you know, you better treat these guys a little nicer than your dad did. And look what the Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 8. But he forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, and which stood before him. So when the old men gave counsel that he didn't want to follow, he said, nah, I ain't going to do that. Let me see what the young men have to say. He had already rejected the old men's counsel. He was already not going to do the very thing that he needed to do to keep the country together. So in verse 13, after the king checked with the counselors, the young counselors, then the king came away and he said, here's what he said. The king answered the people roughly and forsook the old men's counsel that they gave him, and spake to them after the counsel of the young men, saying, my father made your yoke heavy, and I will add to your yoke. My father also chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. So that's terrible. You know what he did? He considered the old men's counsel and then rejected it before he went to get the counsel from the young men. And if he had not rejected it first, he could have actually weighed those two and perhaps come up with a different decision. All right? Here's the last thing, the seventh thing to do when you're seeking safety in the multitude of counselors. Remember, counsel is not going to bail you out when you are wrong. There are sometimes people, I've seen it over and over again, that are doing the wrong thing, and they go to get counsel to try to back them up in the wrong thing that they're doing. And listen, you'll eventually find somebody to tell you that what you're fixing to do is a good thing. Like, for instance, let's say you're getting ready to marry somebody that's a lost person. That's not the right thing to do. But you may find a Christian who will tell you, no, that's okay, I did, and everything worked out fine. You know what? That counsel is not going to bail you out when you're wrong. It isn't going to help you. Look in 2 Samuel chapter 15, 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 31. 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 31 is about Absalom. Now, Absalom was wrong to send his father into exile and to steal his throne. But he sought counsel how best to destroy his father so he could be established in his throne. Wrong thing to do, because counsel is not going to bail you out when you're wrong. 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 31, the Bible says, and it came to pass that when David was, excuse me, and one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. Now they worked up a plot in order to make that happen, because Ahithophel was as if one had asked at the oracle of God. He sent in another counselor, Hushai. And Hushai gave counsel that contradicted the counsel of Ahithophel and threw Absalom off, and they followed Hushai's counsel instead of Ahithophel's counsel, and Absalom was killed. You know why? Because counsel's not going to bail you out when you're wrong. In 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 28, Jeroboam took control of the 10 northern tribes when Rehoboam lost them and the kingdom split. We talked about that just a minute ago. And Rehoboam did not want the Jews going back down to Jerusalem to worship in the temple for fear that they would defect and go with Rehoboam and leave him high and dry. So he wanted to devise a means whereby he could keep them up there in the 10 northern tribes and give them something to worship up there so they wouldn't go down to Jerusalem. So look what happens. 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 28. Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Jeroboam made these false gods, these two calves, you know, double what Aaron had done out there in the wilderness, to get the Jews to worship those calves in Bethel and Dan so they wouldn't have to go down to Jerusalem to worship God. And ever since then, whenever there was a bad king in Israel, it always said that he did after the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. Bad counsel. Counsel is not going to bail you out when you are wrong. So what we've seen today then is that there is safety in the multitude of counselors. And here's the summary again of what we learned. First of all, get counsel even though you think you're on the right track. That's the first thing to do. Just do it anyway. It's a good thing for you to do. Secondly, make sure the counsel you seek is wise counsel. Make sure the people that you're talking to have proven themselves. Number three, make sure the counselors are godly counselors, not ungodly counselors. Saved men, people like your pastor. Make sure that the counsel is consistent with God's word. Don't fall in the trap that Eve did, violating God's words, or that the Pharisees did by going contrary to the word of God. Get counsel from a multitude, not just one, preferably three counselors. Consider all of the counsel before rejecting any of the counsel so that you can weigh it out properly. And finally, remember, counsel is not going to bail you out when you are wrong. Man, I pray this has really helped you today. This kind of thing would do a Christian a lot of good if he'd follow it, because it's all scriptural and it's all very practical. And we pray you will follow it.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.